Morning, everyone. Can you hear me? Sounds okay? Okay, awesome. So, welcome to my first sermon. In 1995, the alternative rock group Smashing Pumpkins released their album Melancholy and the Infinite Sadness. The album debuted number one on the Billboard Top 200, going on to sell over 5 million copies in the U.S. alone. The hit single from this album, Bullet with Butterfly Wings, went on to win a Grammy Award for Best Performance. That song prominently features these sad, sad lyrics. Despite all my rage, I'm still just a rat in a cage. Then someone will say, what is lost can never be saved. Despite all my rage, I am still just a rat in a cage. Billy Corgan, lead singer of the Smashing Pumpkins, describes the album as being based on the human condition of mortal sorrow. There must be something in our culture that makes us feel trapped, unable to escape our cage. Today, we celebrate Reformation Sunday, and the leader of the Protestant Reformation, Martin Luther, all those years ago. Luther knew of rage, and for much of his youth, it was directed inward. First, it was a rage of not living up to expectations. His father wanted him to be a lawyer and paid good money for Luther's education to follow this path. Later, his was a rage of more expectations, expectations he thought were from God. Luther, living in a monastery at the time, worried much about sin and that he may have committed it. Luther was trying to save himself through good works and would apologize to God through confession whenever he failed. Often, Luther would awake the head monk in the middle of the night to confess. At times, Luther was so obsessed with his sins, he would practice self-flagellation, or literally whipping himself as punishment. It's painful stuff. So why all this extreme behavior by Luther? Well, he believed that if he passed away without confessing all his sins, that eternal damnation would await. A cage of impending hell. That's quite a cage to be holed up in. Fortunately, after deeply studying the Bible, Luther had an aha moment. Maybe something was different. Theologian Gerhard Ford summarizes the insight from this moment like this. What shall I do to be saved? The answer is shocking. Nothing. Just be still. Stop talking and listen for once in your life. Listen to what God the Almighty, Creator and Redeemer, is saying to the world and to you in the death and resurrection of his Son. Listen and believe. And with this new understanding of grace and salvation, the personal reformation of Martin Luther had begun. Luther, now aware of this grace and free from the rage he experienced in mind and body, he set about to share this message with others. It wasn't widely accepted or appreciated by the church at the time, so he wrote and posted the 95 Theses on the door at the Wittenberg Cathedral in 1517. Luther, a man of the people, encouraged those around him to spend time each day studying the Bible and in prayer. He also challenged the Catholic Church on their use of indulgences. Pastor talked about that a little bit. That's where people would pay the church to forgive sin. By this understanding, people would also pay the church to avoid hell. For Luther, as is for us, we are free through the death and resurrection of Jesus. Our cages have already been opened, our self-rage washed in grace. Salvation is ours. Just believe. Nothing else. The gospel reading from John today connects with Luther's aha moment as well. In the gospel, Jesus speaks to a crowd, telling them to remain faithful to his teachings. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free, Jesus reminds us. There are no modifiers here, no works to do for salvation, only a simple equation. Believe, know the truth, be free. Reformation isn't something stuck in the past with Jesus 2,000 years ago, or even with Martin Luther 500 years ago. Reformation can be here and now and personal. I was raised in a Pentecostal church, which taught Christianity a little bit different than what we understand here as Lutherans. Our Pentecostal brothers and sisters in Christ believe in the speaking of tongues as a gift of the Holy Spirit, and they also emphasize public faith healings. It really made for a pretty dynamic way to experience church as a kid. I'll say that. But Pentecostals, at least in the 1980s, they're also largely known for something else, preaching about the ills of homosexuality. I distinctly remember the pastors of my youth speaking about AIDS being a punishment of God for a sinful lifestyle. It never really made much sense to me at the time. I mean, where was this God of love we learned so much about in Sunday school? I couldn't find it there. This disconnect between an angry, punishing God and a God of love is a large reason I walked away from any form of Christianity for many years. My personal reformation towards something new began in college. By chance, I went to a Lutheran university and was blessed to date and then marry a good Lutheran girl. And she's sitting right over there. Hey, Kathy. As part of our engagement, we went church shopping with the goal of finding a faith community that would work for each of us. At some point, the Lutheran concept of being saint and sinner, that both reside in us at all times, it started making sense. When I stumbled on a good explanation of Lutheran grace, that God forgives always, and salvation is ours always, I was hooked. It was also during this time that a few guys from my college fraternity would take a 45-minute drive each year to Notre Dame University. That's a Catholic college for anyone not in the know. Their goal? To nail Martin Luther's 95 Theses to the door of the Basilica of the Sacred Heart. Yes, they still do this. It was a pretty silly thing to do. But I took away another message. Reform is still happening in our world today. Our Lutheran denomination, the ELCA, has engaged in reform of this sort and in some very specific ways. We believe that God calls all to be in community together as a people of faith. We believe God can call anyone to lead our congregations, be they black or white, male or female, gay or straight. From the pulpit to the pews, all are welcome. This, for me, brought me out from the Christian rage of my youth and away from a God of judgment to a God of love. While I was free from this cage and happily embraced our Lutheran community here at St. Michael, God wasn't done with me yet. 2 years ago, I thought I had it all, a loving family, great church, roof over my head, the stability of a good-paying job. I had recently been promoted at work and was now managing a team of employees. I really stayed busy climbing the corporate ladder. Our goal was clear, upper management would say, do whatever it takes to increase profits. Nothing else matters. In this cage, more works brought more money. In this cage, people were only as important as the revenue they represent. My rage this time came out as a dark, clinical depression. Deep down, I knew, despite the values corporate America was asking me to embrace, that relationships, that people, really do matter. Then, one night, from a hotel room in Chicago, my personal aha came. I was busily typing away at the keyboard, preparing for a sales presentation the next day. The topic, how to increase profits. I decided to take a break and listen to a favorite sermon from Pastor Weiss on the internet. The sermon from Easter Day 2012 is a retelling of the Garden of Eden and has the theme, but you don't need points. We're caught in the accumulation of points and have lost our way, or so the story goes. Instead, our role on earth is simple. We are to dance with our Creator, dance with creation, dance with each other, and be in deep relationship with the world. Hearing this from a hotel room in Chicago, while working on a presentation that was all about collecting points, points with big dollar signs attached to them, it brought tears streaming down my face. But you don't need points, I remember shouting at the laptop. My personal reformation and release from this cage had evolved yet again. Since then, I've walked away from a career in point collecting, have decided to pursue ordained ministry, begun seminary classes, and dove even more into the life of the church here at St. Michael. That moment of yelling at a laptop, but you don't need points, is a large reason I'm standing here today. So what about you? What cages What rages do you need release from? Is it a cage of self-loathing? A rage of broken relationships? A cage of longing for more, but not knowing how? Know the truth, Jesus reminds us, and be free. Amen.